This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad that you could join us today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. If you're in the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So let me give you a lay of the land. I do have some very special guests with us in the first period of the show. We're going to talk to them about a very special event coming up. And then I'm going to... We're going to have a conversation about something else I think is near and dear to all of our hearts. So I want to welcome Dr. Talia Micklewhite. How are you, ma'am? It's so good to have you on the show.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang, and good afternoon, Bahamas. It's good to be on Z Live.
There you go. And Dr. Raquel Edgecombe, how are you, ma'am?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me as well, and good afternoon, Bahamas.
These are colleagues from the University of the Bahamas, the premier tertiary institution in the country, and I dare say in many parts of our world, especially since I'm an alumni and know how proud a history we have. Welcome again. So you have a very special event coming up, speaking to something very close to the hearts of very, very, very many people who understand how important education is in the country. You want to tell us about it?
Yes, and good afternoon again. So this Wednesday, 7 p.m., all roads lead to the University of the Bahamas as we launch the University of the Bahamas Education Research Conference, a.k.a. UBERC 2024. Mr. Lang, after a three-year hiatus, happy to be able to bring this conference to the educational community again. You recall that.
And what a hiatus, given all that's happened in the last 3 years, right?
Yes, sir. In fact, our last one was in February of 2020. And you'd recall right after that, in March of 2020, the entire country shut down with the COVID pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Impacting education profoundly.
Yes, sir. And so we're very excited. We've been having calls from teachers throughout the country asking us, when are you going to have the next research conference? Because this indeed is a platform whereby we bring educators from throughout the length and breadth of the Bahamas, that is teachers, administrators, all coming together to really examine educational issues, but from a research perspective. Mm. You know, quite often we have persons talking about things, but a lot of it is sometimes conjecture or hearsay. Mm-hmm. But this conference is focusing particularly on research and culturally relevant research, that is research conducted right here in our own country by our own educators. And having said that, though, I'm also pleased to announce that we have also some international partners. We have researchers from Harvard University joining us. We have researchers from Louisiana State University, from the state of Georgia, And so we've actually become very international. They're glad to come down and join us and be a part of our conference. So we're looking forward to a great time. And I'm sure Chair Edgecombe will have some more to share.
And I know that given the crisis we just had in respect of the pandemic and all that's happening and evolving in the world around technology, I noticed that technology is playing a particular role in this particular research conference.
Yes, sir. In fact, we have two presentations. One of them is speaking to artificial intelligence, and you know that's a hot button item now in education, but it's in the world, but it's particularly impacting education. And also we have another session looking at how to use technology tools in education. So yes, a heavy focus on technology and all the latest as far as technology is concerned, yes.
Dr. Edgecombe, let me ask, so who in particular attends or is invited to attend this conference?
Yes, good afternoon again. And so we are inviting all educators throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and also those who may be abroad who still would like to attend. So we're looking at administrators, teachers, Ministry of Education officials, any private school, school board members, anyone really who is concerned about education can attend this conference.
And the extent to which the general public might have some access to it in terms of the information, what of that?
Well, in terms of the general public, we are going to be live streaming the opening ceremony, which will be held on Wednesday, February the 28th, right here at the PAC, the Performing Arts Center at the university. It's going to be live from the university's website. And so they can definitely be a part of that particular event. And our keynote speaker for the opening is Dr. Ruth Mesez, a daughter of the soil from the University of South Florida. But she's also a graduate of the C.R. Walker Senior School and also the College of the Bahamas. And so those persons who are unable to attend can join us virtually for the opening ceremony.
And the conference is the Wednesday evening only, or is that the only evening for the conference?
No, it's Wednesday evening, our opening ceremony. And let me say that at 6 p.m., those persons who are listening and have not registered, they can register with us now via email. We can send them the information and I'll provide that at the end. But they can also come as early as 6 p.m. to the Performing Arts Center and they can register for the conference. And after the opening ceremony on Thursday and Friday, we have two plenaries set for Thursday morning at 9 a.m. and the other on Friday morning at 9 a.m. in the Harry Seymour Auditorium. And okay. So we have two discussions there. And then from 11 to 3:30 on both days, we have our breakout sessions where we have several researchers and practitioners who will share on the conference themes and various topics that I'm able to share if you would want to hear a little bit more about those.
Please let these folks know so they can know what they're coming to get.
Yes. So let me start off with the plenaries then. So the Thursday morning plenary, our topic is the blueprint for moving beyond learning loss. And the panelists include our acting director of education, Mrs. Dominique McCartney Russell, also Dr. Willissa Mackey, who is a counselor here at UB. We also have Dr. Lerick Knowles, Mr. Jermaine Butler, who is the superintendent, Mrs. Van Rhea Jack from the ministry, and also two of our teachers in the system, Miss Alexis Ferguson and Mrs. Alnika Bain. And that session will be moderated by our faculty member here in the School of Education, Dr. Deontale Turnquist. And on the Friday plenary is entitled Faith and Spirituality for Lifelong Social Emotional Learning and Resilience. And that panel discussion will include Mrs. Judith Blair, one of our former faculty members here at the university, also Dr. Walteria Tucker-Rule, Dr. Andre Cooper, Reverend Diana Francis, and the moderator for that session will be Dr. Denise Thompson. And so those ones are where the entire conference attendees will attend those particular sessions. So we'll be all together in that setting. But after our plenaries on both days and also our coffee break, we are going to move into those breakout sessions, like I said, from 11 straight on down to 3:30. We have a full day, lunch included, of course, because we know that we're going to have to feed the physical man as well as the intellectual man. And so some of the sessions that we have, Mr. William Fielding and his team, they will address the topic of childhood corporal punishment in college students, association with mood, motivation, openness to experience, and executive functioning. Then we have the team from the ministry, Ms. Sarita Clark, Ms. Vernita Davis, and Ingrid Johnson and Van Rhea Jack. They will speak on investigating educators' perceptions of the process and usefulness of the grade level assessment test. And then we have one of our teacher practitioners from Queen's College, Ms. Vanna Hutchinson Dean. She's going to speak about demystifying the AI for educators, practical tools for transforming teaching and learning. And so Dean McElwhite spoke about that artificial intelligence piece earlier. And so those are just some of the sessions. Of course, we have our very own Dean McElwhite and Dr. McDonald, who will be presenting a piece on science education for the future Bahamas, and also many other sessions. We can't call them off now, but we are truly excited about what's going to happen on those 3 days. And then the conference will close off with we call it a conference after party and an education alumni reunion, where the alumni office will also invite other alumni to attend this after party social with us. And that's going to be from 4 to 6 p.m. on the front porch of the Harry Seymour Auditorium, that side where the auditorium is located on campus here. So it's going to be a wonderful event.
Dr. McElwhite, I'm so glad I have you all here for these few moments to talk about something, because, you know, a lot of times people call these shows or text us or say, well, you know, I did some research on the internet and they've come up with some conclusions, et cetera. Can you help us with the difference between my casual research over the internet and what you are calling scholarly research that will be attended to by this conference?
Most certainly, Mr. Lang, and we know that there are certain parameters for research to be respected, and one of course is peer review. And anybody who's engaged in academic research will know of some of the kinds of rigor that is needed for your research to be respected. And therefore, we have a committee that was struck that is guiding this conference. And persons would have submitted their abstracts to this conference, and their abstract would outline the methodologies that they use, their methods of carrying out the research, their methods of data collection, and looking at their study limitations and other kinds of things that pertain to academic research. And only if they would have met those very high standards would their abstract be accepted for this conference. And that's why, again, we're very pleased, because when our teachers come into these settings and our presenters provide information, they're able to also show why their research is respected and why we can take the findings of their research and maybe try to make some applications to the local environment. And even when we are unable to do that, you know, there's something called the study limitations. We acknowledge the limitations of our study, and so that, again, the users of that information will know what limitations may pertain to attempting to generalize from these studies. So, yes, it is different. I mean, we encourage people, you know, to always do their research. But, you know, to be accepted to a conference like this, you must pass some very, very high standards.
And one of the things that, you know, I was Minister of State for Education at one point, and one of the things that both teachers and parents and others would comment on is to say, you know, well, we try these things in education, but they would say, well, what's the evidence? What's the research to support? And then they would say, And yeah, it may work in that country, but why do we think it will work in this country, which is where your culturally relevant research comes into play, right?
Correct. Absolutely correct. And so, you know, we are not xenophobic. It doesn't mean that we're afraid to look at what's happening abroad. Many things we have learned and we've applied. But at the end of the day, we have to make sure that it is culturally relevant, that is applicable to our local settings, and also looking at our own behaving children, our own culture, our own classroom climate, and the climate of our schools, to know what works and what doesn't work. And of course, there are many other parameters. You know, we have the Ministry of Education has their own guidelines for what is acceptable. We have the Education Act that you know, mandates certain things. And so whatever we do, we have to, again, ensure that the information that we're providing via research is one that will be not just respected, but appreciated. Because like you say, sometimes people say, well, you know, this isn't working. And that, again, that is the beauty of research, that we can share our findings, we can try to implement, but if it's not working, we revisit again and we try it again until we get it just right. And that is evidenced again. So again, we're looking at some markers. For example, if we try a strategy, what are we looking for? Are we looking for improved student behavior? Are we looking for better BGCSE results, better BJC results, or GLAAD results? What is it that we're really looking for? And this is why, again, the research has to have that kind of rigor that when our presenters present, we have to be very clear on what is it that we're looking for. Because again, some people just engage in research for research, but we want to engage in research to transform the country. And so that is what we're really looking at here.
So we have Wednesday night for the opening ceremony at 7 p.m. in the Harry B. Moore Library. Library.
Correction. The opening is in the PAC, Performing Arts Center.
The opening ceremony is in the Performing Arts Center on Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
Yes, with registration starting at 6 p.m. for those who still need to register. Mm-hmm.
And then the plenaries are taking place on Thursday and Friday, beginning at
9 a.m.
Uh-huh.
in the Harry C. Moore Library, the auditorium.
Okay, super. And then you have at 4 at 11 o'clock, you have your breakout sessions.
Yes, which will be held in the Franklin R. Wilson Graduate Center.
Is there any registration in advance of the 6 o'clock evening session on Wednesday, like online now or something people can do now?
Yes, definitely. They can register online. They can email us at Uber. That's UBER conference at ub.edu.bs, or they can contact us and we can send them the live registration link via email. They can call 397-2603. Again, that's 397-2603, and we can provide them with the information to register. Registration is $200 per person. For the entire conference, or if they're doing a one-day registration, it is $100 for the Thursday or Friday.
Dr. Micklewhite, I'm so intrigued by the notion of AI and what's been happening with AI for the good and for the bad. do you see AI's double-edged sword for education, and is that something likely to get addressed during the course of the conference?
Most certainly, let me just back up a bit there just to say that for persons who want to register, we're letting know that everything is totally electronic. You don't need to come on the campus. Once we give you that link, you'll be able to register for the conference, pay everything online. It's all digital now, so we're very excited about that. And so please do call those numbers or send that email so we can send you a link. That's all we'll be sending you, a link. And once you click on that link, you can register for the conference. I see Chair Edgecombe just put the information again in the chat. And so, yes, Mr. Lang.
Oh, that's easy. Uber conference.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
They'll bounce back the link to the individual, and they'll be able to register right away. And we already have a significant number of persons already registered for the conference. They're only going to come to pick up their package on Wednesday evening, but some who haven't registered we're letting them know they can do so in person once they arrive on Wednesday evening at 6. But back to your question, sir, on AI, you know, like you said, it's a double-edged sword. But I think the reality is it is here, and it is here to stay. And the reality is our students are already using it. You know, we struggle even here at UB. Sometimes you can see the when the students turn in assignments, you can see there was AI generated, as they say.
Because I didn't want to say, but yes.
Yes, you know, we know our students because when we have them write in class, we know their level of writing, their level of comprehension. So when we see these very flabbergasted papers, we wonder, you know. So it's here, but what we need to do now is teach the students how to use it responsibly. I also think, too, we need to rethink maybe some of our own methodologies of teaching to find out how we can incorporate the use of it in a better way. The fact is they're going to use it. So then let's ourselves, since they're going to use it now, let's guide them on how to use it, the information they get, how to then take that information, and really, as we're looking at them, applying their critical thinking skills, memorizing stuff, you know. We're in the information age. Information is at our fingertips. You know, I often say to my teachers, as we train teachers, we have to rethink education in this age of technology. There's actually a book written on that, rethinking education in the age of technology. We've got to rethink education. And that will include using AI in the classroom. How do we do it? How do we do it well? So whereas in the old, what we call agrarian society, that's the old agricultural-based society, where education is a lot of memorization, rote. You know, we have moved away from that now. Because we have information now, how do we then use it? Okay? Yeah. And so that's what's going on. I'm very sure that the two presenters, we have two presenters dealing with AI. I think Jay Edgecombe read them up already. One of them is Nasina Hutchinson from Queens College. Yes, we have teachers from both the public and private schools participating in this conference. And she's talking again about demystifying artificial intelligence. It is practical tools. So she's going to give some right on hot practical tools. But then again, coming from the Ministry of Education, a team from there, Mrs. Samantha Wilson and team, they're talking about future forward leadership, nurturing education in the age of AI and Web 3.0. So, and she's particularly in charge of, I think, their online and distance virtual learning platform at the ministry. And so she will be looking at how do they continue to use the online platform, the virtual platform, now incorporating the use of artificial intelligence. A number of our students on the family islands, even though the pandemic is over, a number of students on our family islands are still using the virtual platform to access those subject areas that we don't have teachers for on some of the remote islands. So this is again very, very exciting. And we're looking forward to what Ms. Wilson and her team will share.
I keep telling the folks to tell me today that we have a shortage of specialist teachers and this and that and the next thing. Makes no sense when I can do a master's, a PhD online, right? Because you have the means by which to get that specialist to these outer islands or family islands, using these virtual platforms.
Yes, most certainly. Now, you know, there will always be the school of thought, because even though you don't have, what we find out is that you still sometimes need bodies on the ground to do that final part of education. So, but certainly you're right. I mean, if you and I can study that way, I did a part of my doctoral studies was done remotely or virtually, and the standards or the rigor was just as hard. In fact, sometimes the thing was harder. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish I was in a room with a teacher to just talk to me and then I go home, you know. But, you know, they load everything in those, and then you're expected to really apply your critical thinking skills to survive.
Right.
So, we can do it. And I hope that more of that happens so that we don't have students coming to UB saying, well, oh, I went to school in Abaco or Eleuther or this island or Crooked Island. I wasn't able to take biology. I wasn't able to take chemistry because we had no teacher.
Right. Exactly. It's not the ideal situation, but it's what could be more of an ideal, right?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Dr. Edgecombe.
I was going to say yes, definitely, and we can begin to think of outside the box a little further, and even perhaps introduce some form of blended learning where the teacher can go down at some point to these different mm-hmm. islands and present the practical side of whatever subject area it is. And so it doesn't have to be only face-to-face or only what we call synchronous, but it can be a blend of the face-to-face and the synchronous learning.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you, I it sounds exciting, and I have no doubt that the attendees will have a fabulous time. So once again, we got Wednesday evening in the PAC, 7 p.m., that's the Performing Arts Center. Wednesday evening, that's the opening ceremony. And then on Thursday and Friday, you have two plenaries beginning at 9 a.m. And then at 11 a.m., some breakout sessions. You want to, once again, uberconference@ub.edu.bs. That's UER conference@ub.edu.bs. Or you can call 397-2603 to register. If I missed anything, please go right ahead and let us know. And before we close.
Well, Mr. Lang, I just want to say that on Wednesday, the opening night, we're going to be so privileged to have the Minister of Education, Honorable Glenys Hannah-Martin, to come and bring remarks to the conference as the minister in the country responsible for education, the acting director will also be present. Our president, President Hodder, Janine Hodder, will be giving some opening remarks and declaring the conference officially open. We will have principals, administrators, teachers from throughout the length and breadth of the Bahamas at that Wednesday evening opening. And I think Chair Edgecombe wants to also share some exciting events on that Wednesday. Chair Edgecombe, you want to close out with that?
Yes, we will also have some of our union representatives as well. They'll be there. And then we have special performances by some of our local talents, the Centerville Primary School Choir with the leader, Mr. Rashad Cunningham, one of our former UB students. He graduated a few years back. And also the C.H. Reeves Junior John Canoe Champions will be performing a rush out at the end as we celebrate the opening. And so that's very supportive. That's very exciting for us. And that's being led by their leader, Mr. Edgecombe, who was responsible for the Junior John Canoe there. Also, we want to give just a quick thank you to our donors. First of all, the conference is being held under the distinguished patronage of the family of the late Hugh Sands, CMG. And so if they're listening, we want to say thank you so much to them for their contribution, financial gift to the conference. And also, of course, the Ministry of Education and Technical and Vocational Training, another key sponsor. Also, Caribbean Bottling Company, whose beverages we will enjoy at all of the events, the opening and the we will enjoy some of their beverages. Original Patties Bakery, Wendy's Bahamas, 3S Bakery, Purity Bakery, Acupure, we'll make sure we have sufficient waters, Birth for the Best out of Elutra, Bahamas, will also be one of our sponsors. And so we invite others who may be listening, who may want to support, do reach out to us at the same email, or you can contact me directly with your sponsor. It's not your sponsorship, it's not too late. My direct line is 449-1692. And so come and be a part of this conference with us in a substantial way.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies. We appreciate you coming by, and all the best.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We're going to jump right into our next special guest to speak about a very powerful conference coming up that might tie into some of the things that we just talked about. RF Business Economic Outlook is coming up. One and only, the great Gowan Bo, CEO of the Fidelity Group, with us. Brother Bo, how are you?
Boy, right here, brother. Chivago Lang, how are you? When you calling me great, I know you're doing okay.
Man, please, come on, man. I know you're a modest fella, but we know how you go. Welcome, it's been a little while.
Yeah, it has. Hope all is well. Happy New Year, sir.
All is well and Happy New Year to you. Are you alone, or is there someone else with you?
No, I have my good friend, Jim Wilson, the vice president from RF Bank and Trust itself. So I travel in with heavy company.
Yeah, man. How are you, Brother Wilson? I can't see anybody, so you do excuse me for not seeing you. Normally, when they come in by virtual, I get the two, all the names. But welcome, welcome.
No worries. Thanks, Chivago.
I have been to a number of these outlooks that you have had, and they are certainly something to behold. I mean, both in terms of the content and the setup, etc. Is this what people should look forward to again coming up? Give us some information, please.
I think the most important thing is about elevating the discussion. So just with the former segment, when we're looking at it from an education standpoint, and you know, sometimes persons get, I'm going to say, a bit intimidated when they think about education. And really, the economic outlook is about educating the public, but having it from persons who I'm going to call various specialisms and backgrounds. When you look at what the conference is doing, yes, it does cross over with what UB is doing to the extent of artificial intelligence, but also the geopolitical environment. When we talk about the Bahamas, we sometimes think it's only us. And, you know, if you talk to the average person and speak about the trade war between the U.S. and China, they'll tell you, man, that have nothing to do with us. But it does, because we are friends with both of these powerhouses, and sometimes there are even political decisions that impact the Bahamas that we have to be mindful of. And then sometimes just having that lifestyle story with one of the speakers being an individual that actually took it upon himself to sail across the world on his own. So you have what I'm going to say, a real cross-section of what is taking place in the domestic and international economy and political environment, what is taking place in the global trends like AI, and then, you know, giving you that moral boost to say that you could jump on a vessel by yourself and sail across the world. I think, you know, it certainly is one of those types of conferences that is open and available to all, right from the homemakers that may be looking for an exciting event to see others, and then right up to the business executive who wants to hear how does this trade war really impact us here in the Bahamas.
But Wilson, to say that we live in interesting times, I think is an understatement of great, great, great proportions. This is such a dynamic and fluxing world. The conference this year then now is set against that backdrop.
Yes, I mean, and as always, we have some exciting speakers lined up. As Gawan suggested and spoke to, this is about the evolution of AI, present and future. We're also going to talk about navigating AI regulations and, you know, how do you safeguard the vulnerable within that context. And then we're going to look at the unpacking the economic and geopolitical pressures, what Gawan's referring to. You know, you've got on the one hand, you've got China and Taiwan, along with trade war. You have the next potential president of the United States talking about imposing not sanctions this time, but more tariffs on Chinese goods, which will have an impact on us directly and indirectly. And then it's very topical these days, following with Dorian, is just how impactful the environment is on our island nation. And so we'll be addressing the latest viable options in climate change for the Caribbean.
When RF puts together the conference, what does it want participants to walk away with?
Looking to be informative. We want to inform the population. As Gawan says, we can't live in a bubble. We everything that happens with the U.S., with China, they're both friends to the Bahamas. Things happen, and we need to be aware of that. So informative and educational. We want the average guest who attends to walk away with a little bit more knowledge. And this year, of course, it's artificial intelligence is what's happening right now.
And, you know, I have to tell people, I intend to do a show on artificial intelligence for sure, because that thing is not playing. For the good for the good and for the evil, right?
Exactly.
It is a powerful. Listen, I'm Google searching some information, right? I'm just Google searching some information, and then I don't know if you know, Google has something called Coalpit. And so I didn't know if I clicked anything, but all of a sudden this very organized set of information to me, and I'm like, this is everything I want. But I found out as I searched it, and it's Google search engines, AI generated info.
Yeah. You know, and it's a frightening, so as a part of the conference is also the regulation of it. You know, I'm certain as have I, you know, we see where AI has been used to actually even distort messages, taking the facial images of individuals and the live movement of mouth and voiceover and alterations, etc. So you do have some of the negative, but I always remember the story with a very popular dean in the country who used to go into a very popular gambling hall and say, you know, how do we make the devil money work for the Lord? So, you know, when we look at AI, you know, it is going to necessarily have consequences, and you have to be mindful of how do you weed out the good and the bad. In the earlier session, you know, with UB talking about, you know, how the young persons are now kind of defaulting to this AI and sort of generative AI to do read the papers, right? Mm-hmm. And so now it is one, you know, are we losing what I'm going to call, and you and I know as being the common sense and the street sense, because we have such a powerful tool, but ultimately, you know, it is opening up new opportunities to, because we can mine information in such a more, I'm going to say, intensive way, that ultimately there's so much trend and information that can be gleaned from data that already exists that, you know, we have not been making best use of it. So I look at AI as a little bit of saying, you know, they say the brain is the most powerful organ in the body and we don't use anywhere but 10% of it. AI is kind of your brain on steroids. And so from that perspective, probably making better use of all of what you have.
Well, Google's AI's generating facility is called Copilot. and so it's some crazy business, right? But you know, this is what I say. I say, if you are a curious soul, AI is a great tool. If it's a soul, AI could be a problem.
Exactly, I'm with you. And I think, you know, what RF has been doing for a number of years, partnering with the various sponsors. And when you look across the sponsorship listing, you know, from the law firms, the banks like ourselves, the media houses, you know, a whole raft of businesses that, you know, don't necessarily have what I'm going to call a direct financial interest or a direct interest because of their clientele, meaning that it is so specific to them. But more importantly, like who are within our staffing. So at Fidelity, we look at pushing with our key management team to come out and hear these things. We're looking for some of our customers who know that we are a sponsor and how do they get access to it. And it's really around, as Jim started saying, informative and educational, but I'm going to say in a lighthearted and fun way. We've all been to seminars and presentations where, you know, you have to pinch yourself to stay awake. I think, you know, what has been a good, you have dynamic speakers that are not speaking off of what I'm going to say a slide deck or a script. They're talking about what it is they're talking about on a daily basis. And so when you have that caliber of speaker that comes, you know, it's engaging. It certainly is one that has you locked to your seat listening to things that you say, I did not know. And as he said, you know, the most important element when we see our management team and our clientele leave it, we want them to walk away with the intrigue to debate matters further. It is really a stepping stone to say, well, how do we take what we've heard today and learn a little bit more to make the Bahamas an even better and greater place than it is.
I will say one, and you alluded to it, but what I will say, that the conference, you feel like you are in a very dynamic conversation with people who are immersed in cutting edge issues, for sure. That's how you feel, because these are folk who are, they, you know, these are people who are talking with the kind of conversationality that makes you lean in.
Precisely.
In a very real way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and that goes to the speakers, you know, like you say, Kevin Cerez, who's a Silicon Valley innovator. This guy holds patents in, in things like, drywall, like, an eco-friendly drywall. He's got green tech, basically. He's got a number of patents. He's one of the guys that helped develop OnStar for GM. Raman Chowdhury is a lady who's responsible for AI fellow at Harvard and a former director of AI ethics at Twitter. Anu Bradford, another lady, a professor at Columbia Law School, author, and she's an expert on global economic regulation. Good lineup. Dr. James Fletcher is a former St. Lucia minister with, responsible for public service and sustainable development. So it's a good lineup of speakers, as we usually have. Like you said, Shivaga, you've attended these things. It's never boring. And as Gavin says, you never find the urge to want to doze off in presentation.
No. And the date is?
Yeah, so the date is March 13th here in the Bahamas. Registration opens at 8:30. It's at the Grand Hyatt, Bahamar. The cost is $400. And you can register at www.rfbeo.com. We do offer professional association discounts, and group discounts are available. So you would contact marketing@rfgroup.com. And it is a continuing, RFEO is a continuing professional development provider. So you can earn CPD credits. And the theme this year is Age of Intelligence, Harnessing the Power.
And it's a great opportunity for interacting, because if you like me and can't see Gowan, you know, you could come there
exactly.
And you could pin him down in a corner and say, listen, I've been trying to reach you. Brother Wilson, listen, I've been trying to reach you.
Exactly. So that's where you emerge from what has been the COVID environment. This was held in hybrid formats in recent times, and it's moving to the full in-person. And, you know, it's an opportunity, just like you say, to lock down those that you can't find. But like they say, Roka can't hide too long.
And so for the people who want to register, what's the means to do so if they want to do so now, for instance?
Well, yeah, I mean, go to the marketing@rfgroup.com to reach out. I think that's the easiest way to do so.
As group, and I think the website that Jim referenced, the rfbeo.com.
Okay.
And I think what that site also provides is the information on the speakers. It has the details of the various entities that have come together and partnered in order to do this, with RF taking the lead. Certainly, I think it's sort of the key businesses in our country that have seen merit in something that is not cheap to put on, and ultimately is, as they say and goes, you get what you pay for. And so the quality of speakers, their international gravitas, and these are persons who are movers and shakers around the world and with some of the great policymakers in the various jurisdictions. So, you know, from that perspective, you certainly do see the merit in being a part of this, even if it's only from the perspective of saying that I'm a little smarter than when I came in.
Yeah. One of the things that I also appreciate about the conference, when the times when I've attended to, is if you are a business leader, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're somebody who's interested in business, you also get an opportunity to truly get an outlook, right? Not just nationally, but a global outlook, and say, you know what, here's what is trending from what he said, what she said, what they said, and maybe I need to pivot this way or pivot that way. Maybe I need to look at this a little bit closer.
Well, that's exactly it. I think we always look at the Bahamas. I know it's a fantastic place in the world. There's no place better. But I think we always have to remind ourselves that notwithstanding we are certainly God's country, we need to know what's happening outside, because We are only so big. We punch way above our weight, but really as 400,000 people, any real advancement means that we have to take our knowledge and product to the world. And the only way we can do that is by being knowledgeable about what is happening in the world around us. And so from that perspective, you know, if you are serious about saying, how do I advance my business? This is one of those conferences, as are others, that you need to be a part of to certainly enlighten yourself so that you're not so tunnel vision and so focused on these beautiful sun, sand, and sea, but also understand there's a big wide world around us as well.
When does the conference end? It starts at 9 a.m., registration at 8:30, but when does it end?
Usually it's the same day. It ends at around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock that day.
And for those of us who like libations, Shivag, you know, they make sure. And so when you've left the cocktail reception afterwards, you know, you can mingle with the speakers, you can mingle with your friends and colleagues who visited. But most importantly, you have that little pick-me-up.
I think we may set up Z Live there. So if y'all want to line up some of our speakers, we could probably have a conversation with them. Yep. I don't get any libation because Gowan has sent me home immediately after. That's his typical thing. He says, Shivag, you got to go. So
you clearly have a reputation.
But any final words before we close?
I'd just like to mention the sponsors. Alive, Doctors Hospital, Fidelity Bank, Glinton Sweeting O'Brien, and J.S. Johnson, and PwC, they're all platinum sponsors. Also, your competitors, the Tribune. And then the silver is CG Atlantic and Graham Thompson. And the gold is eCapital, which is an international company.
RF gets to say what it wants on Z Live because RF sponsors Z Live. All right, gentlemen, we wish you all the best. I know it's going to be great. And I'm dead serious. We may do the show from there. We'll see.
Sounds good.
So glad to have you on, and we'll talk to you again. Gowan, you got to come back, man.
Give
us some of that knowledge you got.
Yeah, whenever you tell me I got to be here, you know I be there. It's when you get more forceful.
Yeah. I must send a note.
Exactly.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, right. Ladies and gentlemen. Shivago. Cheers, man. Take care.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, boy, I got something I want to talk to you about. We'll be back after this break.
Not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Get ready for a day of insights at the RF Economic Outlook on March 13th at Bamar. Embrace the art of intelligence, harnessing the power, as over 200 professionals delve into AI trends, economic outlooks, Caribbean climate resiliency, and more. Don't miss the networking event of the year. Plus, earn CPD credits. Register now at rfbeo.com. Harness the power. March 13th at Bamar with RF Economic Outlook Conference.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
In your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas. Then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-847 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Babe, you mashed the car? ain't much the car. The lady run into me much the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You got it.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, just let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can 9-3043. I have a friend I speak to with some regularity, and whenever she goes to the food store or she encounters some high cost of something, she would often say to me, I wonder how average people make it. I mean, invariably, that's what she would say. She said, you know, I'm fortunately in a situation where, confronted with this high cost, I can do something about it. It's still a strain, but at least I can do something about it. But what do average people do? Nobody goes to the food store for me. No one does. No one goes to the food store for me. I go to the food store for myself. And that's been that way. That's been this way for me for most of my adult life. Okay? Yeah? No, married or unmarried, doesn't make no difference. I go to the food store myself. And it's rough, right? I mean, honestly, I mean, for, as my friend would say, average souls, it's so, I went to the food store today. I'm calling the food store today. So I picked up, let me tell you all how many items I picked up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27 items, right? That might seem like a lot, but they're like little small items, right? And that wasn't more than two bags. I'm talking about two of those, because you don't have the plastic bags anymore. We have to have a cloth. I carry my own cloth bags that I got from some of the stores. Give you bags when you go to buy stuff. So, and these weren't any fancy stuff. There's no steak on here. There's no oxtail. No fancy stuff, right? A lot of stuff, like, I try to do healthy, right? So, so I do have some oil, and I have some coconut oil and stuff like that on it, right? So one item I bought, a pack of, this is a six pack of toilet tissue, Now, I'm not like some people. I'm not buying them little flimsy toilet tissue, but, you know, you can use 3 times as much because you're using the toilet tissue. They're so thin. Do you all know how much I paid for a 6-pack toilet tissue in this store? And I can be honest with you all. I think I really didn't even realize this when I was, till after the fact. I paid $33.99 for a 6-pack of toilet tissue. Seriously? You know how much I paid for a 25-ounce olive oil? $22.69. Now, I'm going to get the olive oil because I only cook with olive oil. I bought some coconut oil. $16.79 for coconut oil. But I'm on to, so it's been, that's rough. Now, mind you, thank God I was able to get it. But do I want to have to pay that kind of pricing? I'm serious. I don't. That's not affordable for far too many people. And that's not desirable for far too many people. Now, let me explain something to y'all so y'all don't get mad. I am not one of those people who believe that the stores are gouging you. I'm not one of those people who believe that somebody's robbing you. I'm not somebody who believes somebody's stealing something from you. I am a grown man. I'm an adult man. I walked in the food store. I picked up items that I wanted. There were prices on the item, not a toilet tissue price. I'm going back to that store and telling them that that price was not on that one there. The price I saw on there was not that. But I walked in the store and I picked up what I wanted. And when I got to the counter and I got the bill, I wasn't shocked, stunned. I didn't get mad. I didn't get upset. I just said to myself, this is not something I want to be doing. And so I'm not angry with the store owners. I'm not angry with any store managers. I'm not angry with anybody. I'm not a victim of anybody. I'm not claiming to be a victim. I'm not calling on the government to go price control, nothing, etc. I know just how to deal with them. And I'm not only trying to deal with them for me, I want to deal with them for you too. That's why I can't touch everything. But there is a way that you can get by some of these things without all that heavy cost. Because what you are paying for, and I'm not blaming anyone, I'm not cussing anyone, you're paying for the man's overhead. And he's brick and mortar, and he's been around brick and mortar for a long time. You're paying for all of his overhead. You're paying for any financing fees he has to pay. Cost, you're paying for his profits. You're paying for him to make enough money so that he could keep in that business. And I'm not cussing him for that. I don't dislike him for that. I'm not complaining. That's the way of business. But this stuff, this is wild and crazy. And this stuff for me is my trying to be healthier and my eating. But for many of the things, even the people can't be healthy about, it's still gone far higher than people are accustomed to. And so again, I don't cuss nobody. I don't get mad. But I ain't gonna be no victim. And I'm not gonna endure it. I will not endure it. I know how to deal with this. And I am going to deal with it. There are a couple of ways to deal with it. And I am going to deal with it. Okay? And if a number of people follow my lead, and I'm not asking to follow my lead, I'm just saying if you do some of the things you can do, these stores have a decision to make. I'm telling you. Because it's just difficult. I'm not, again, store owners, you can't get mad with me because I'm making an observation, right? As my friend continues to say, how do poor people make it? How does the average person deal with it? It is a strain. And so we've got to ask them, reduce your quality of life, do this and the next thing. And of course, some people have to make that adjustment. There are other ways, though. There are other things that can be done. Say, hi, that price is rather fair for the olive oil. Or I'm not saying whether the price is fair or not, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I buy olive oil places, and I can tell you, on olive oil, I can do better than that. Not better than that. But it isn't unfair in the context of the Bahamas. It's what these things are selling for home. There's no question about that. That's what olive oil, coconut oil, avocado oil is selling for. So I'm not complaining that it's outrageous in the context of home, but I know we can do better than that. I'm saying you have to do some things to do better than that. So you can pay much more for the olive oil depending on where it is from. Absolutely, there are different brands of olive oils, right? So, and then of course, some people don't realize some olive oils you're buying are cooking olive oil and some olive oils you're buying are salad olive oil. So you have to be mindful of which one you're getting. But remember, what I'm saying is, it's not about whether or not the pricing here is fair. So if you go from one store to the next store and you get the same kind of prices, of course, that's exactly what you're going to get. What I'm saying is, for me who want the olive oil, for me who want the coconut oil, I can do better. I have no doubt I can do better than that. I can do better than that. In fact, if it were not for a particular thing, I would not have picked these oils up. But time is against me. So I picked the oils up. But I can do better than that. It says, and the quality makes a difference with the price. Absolutely. There's no question about that. But the truth of the matter is, let's be clear, right? So how are we going to know in truth what the quality is? All of them say cold pressed, right? All of them say extra virgin olive oils, many of them, right? Many of them say all the kinds of things we are told to look for when we look at these things. Beyond that, though, what is a person who's walking through the store supposed to do about the quality? Like, what do you know beyond those descriptions? We don't know anything, right? We just know what the descriptions say, right? So if I'm looking for cold pressed and I go cold pressed to the other place where I'm going to go, then I get cold pressed. If I look for extra virgin olive oil and the other place I go look for extra virgin olive oil, then I go there. And so far, what I do know is, and I am able to get around all of the overheads and all of the other things. And again, everybody can't do this. I know that for a fact. And I'm not asking people to do this for every item because every item is impossible. But there are some things for which a relief can be had. That's all I'm saying. Right? Because it's tough. That's what I'm saying. Saying just for information, there was not a good olive harvest last year. And that would make a difference too sometimes to things, right? Somebody sent me a boxer Gain detergent, $28.25 before that. $28.25 before that. Again, let me tell you something. I am telling you, it is possible to do better on some of these things. It is possible because these prices don't merely reflect, they do reflect, but they don't merely reflect harvest, reflect global logistical challenges. They don't merely reflect those things. They don't merely reflect the high cost of electricity in the Bahamas. Of course, they reflect all of those things, but they also reflect other things, which if one can do something about, then one can have some savings for oneself. See, here is what every business in the Bahamas has to understand. Every business in the Bahamas, first of all, let me back up. I apologize. Every business in the Bahamas hopefully understands this, which is this. Your customers are the ones who will keep you in business continuously. But if they are under the gun from the cost, then their ability to spend more and spend continuously becomes compromised. And that then turns on your business. And the truth of the matter is, many Bahamians simply have not done anything about these costs that confront them. Many have, but many are not, because we are slaves to our appetites. We are slaves to our brands. And oh, how they cheer, how they are happy. And I'm not cussing them for being happy about our loyalty and faithfulness to our brands. Because they know that that keeps them in the dough, keeps them in the money. Right? But as one man who was packing the stuff at Walmart told me, he was packing the water at Walmart. When I was picking up the Zephyr Hills, picking it up, the man said to me, he said, sir, don't buy that. I said, excuse me? He said, don't buy that. I said, what do you mean don't buy that? He said, that water and this water what I'm putting here, which is much less, they both come from the same place. They just are packaged in different bottles. I didn't even ask this man anything. He was packing his bottles. But I know that now to be the truth because I know the companies who are packing them. let me see. We got some text here. This text says, hey, buddy, how are you? Say, how much did you say the olive oil was and what size was it? So olive oils, yeah. There's the palm, P-O-M, extra virgin olive oil. It was 16 ounces, and that one was $18.59. There's the Phil Berio olive oil, and that was 25.3 ounces, and that was $22.69. That's what it was. I bought it. I knew what the price was when I buy it, so you see I bought it, right? I just know I could do better, and in a different circumstance, I will. That's all I'm saying. Definitely will. No question about that. Actually, to be honest with you, this is the first time I have bought olive oil at home in a little... No. I bought olive oil about two or so weeks ago, but it was the first time I bought olive oil home. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. For months. And the folks who tell me, oh, but you know, you're encouraging people to shop abroad. Everything I buy in the food store is shop for me abroad, pretty much. 95% of the stuff I buy in every food store around here, the people shop for me abroad. So all that, the only difference between me and them is I shop for myself directly, they shop for me indirectly. The only difference. This text is, so Mr. Lang, you indicated you're going to respond and deal with the food store with high prices. No. I'm not dealing with the food stores with high prices. I'm dealing with the high prices for myself. That's what I said. So how do you intend to deal with them and even get their attention by yourself if no one follows your lead? Won't you be ignored? No, I won't, because I am not dealing with them. I admire these entrepreneurs who have for years successfully ran their businesses, provided us with goods and services that we require. I do not begrudge them, etc. I just have to look over my interests like they look over theirs. And so I don't need people to follow me for it to benefit me if it will benefit them and us. That's the difference. All right. So how? I'll let you know. I'll let you know. This text says, average people have a chance to manage, but low-income families, people with multiple children to feed, single mothers or fathers with little to no help from the other biological parent. How are they making it? Social services takes weeks to help with either even food stamps. 9-to-5 paying minimum wage, rent still got to pay. How are they doing it? Very difficultly. And mostly by eating stuff on the cheaper, cheaper stuff ain't cheap no more. You remember when you used to pay, 75 cents for Kraft dinner? And Kraft dinner is not healthy, okay? Lots of salt, lots of preservatives. Kraft dinner is not, but it tastes great if you make it well, okay? But it ain't 75 cents, $1.99 more than that. $2.09 or something like that. Ramen noodles. Y'all remember that was 25 cents? What ramen noodles is now? 39 cents? 50? I don't know. But it ain't 25 cents no more. right? So people aren't buying things on the cheap anymore. They're buying things on the cheaper. Okay? Chicken ain't cheap no more. It's cheaper than other meats, but it ain't cheap no more. This Texas Great Show, as usual, Mr. Lang, go on Walmart site and buy your products from there. I will get your olive oil when I buy my products off Walmart site. Nassau price is too high, Mr. That's one approach. That's definitely one approach. That's one approach. Sure. But, you know, we have to, again, I do not perceive that anything that we are going to do or anybody does is going to put these established stores out of business. And that's not a desire. I know. It's not a desire. But it is conceivable that on some things that people are using, that they are paying such enormous high prices for, there may be a bit of the opportunity to save them some money. And they need to save some money, man. Really? Right? So I think there's opportunity for everybody to live. Right? The Bahamas has been, and anyone who was in business, if you run a food store, if you run a clothes store, anybody tell you, it's not easy to do that here. It's not. And yes, we look at these people, they're making their millions. And yes, they're making some of them, not all, some of them making millions of dollars. I want them, don't get mad at me, because you know you're making millions of dollars and I don't begrudge you. That's wonderful. You're a successful entrepreneur. Successful. And you have a right to make as much money as you desire to make for the investment that you put in. That is what you set out to do for you and your family. So that for generations and generations and generations, they shall want for nothing. And that's a great thing. That's marvelous. But hey, sir, ma'am, you, the being a consumer, have you not the right to have that same interest for your own self? To look out for your own interest for generations and generations and generations to come? And how are you going to do that if you keep spending every nickel and dime you get because the prices you're paying are just a substantially higher, then maybe you need to pay in a different circumstance. How do you look out for your own interests? By curbing perhaps the amount you spend, what you spend, or what you spend? The government is not going to be a rescue here. No, I mean, a government with the best intention and heart cannot rescue you. We have called out a...
Hello? Yes, Mr. Lang? Hello? Hello? Mr. Lang?
Hi. I'm listening to you.
Okay, yes. Mr. Lang, you know what I do? My family and I, every year and a half, we go away. I use a lot of nuts, almonds, all the nuts, the quinoa, all those things I use. And I purchase them from away. I check the prices, mean the date, make sure the date is like up to 5-6 years on those things. Because for pistachio, a little small 12-ounce pistachio is $18. Mm-hmm. Then I go the way to BJ's, I pay $18 for a 3-pound bite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do, Mr. Lang. My wife and I, when we go away, we be saying towards that. And we say, absolutely, this is our shopping money, and we save for the shipping and everything. So we say all that detergent, she bring back, because it's cheaper.
Because plenty of us are going to go away, right? So you go away, the wife go away, if the children are old enough, that's $500 a piece on exemption.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You're having me. Oh, my goodness. But that's what the government provides for, allows for. $500 exemption.
And watch this, Mr. Lang. When you go away, you make sure put everything that is duty-free on a separate slip. Because like walnuts and things like that, you don't combine them with everything that has duty on it because the custom office is not going to separate it. So you put everything that is duty-free on one slip.
Yes, you gotta do that yourself. So you gotta make sure you do enough work to know what is duty free.
Mr. Lang, that's my coconut oil. The unrefined, the cold press. When I go, I make 6, 7, 8 of them. They costing like $6
So you know I ain't lying, right? You know I ain't lying when I say it could do better, it could do different, right?
Thank you. All family members need to those get together. Don't be selfish and say, hey, we going away this summer. Put your money aside. We can shop and we can ship.
And if enough people get together, we'll bring in the containers.
Thank you, sir. That's what you do.
You bring the containers in.
And watch with the water. A $43, $5.
I just think there's a way. Thank you very much. I appreciate you calling.
All right.
Thank you. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, a blessing. Good afternoon, Shabbat. How you doing?
Hey, right here, man. Anton, what's up?
Everything cool, man. Just listening to this. It's hot topic.
Anton, the struggle is real, man.
and the funny thing about it, right, Chicago, because many times after, in particular, when engaging these kinds of conversations, many times after the conversation is concluded, you find yourself thinking about the conversation, right? And, you know, Chicago, even if you are wealthy, and you are someone who takes full accountability of how you spend your money,
right?
Things in this country is really ridiculous. Honestly. You know,
Anton, let me ask you a question. You think when the stores go away to shop, they just try to buy the most expensive item they could buy?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay. And they can afford to buy expensive items, right?
Absolutely. And the crazy thing about it, Shivago, I remember at one point in my life, Shivago, in particular with stuff like toiletries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Shivago, I didn't have to buy toiletries for like 5 to 6 years. Literally. it's because every time I went away on what we call a vacation, I would find a day or two in there where I could pick up some household items.
I'm putting that duffel bag.
No. I would actually ship it. I would take it to
shipping
company.
Me too. Put it on
to wrap the pilot, right?
Yeah.
To ensure that they do it the way I want it done, right? And Chicago, those instances have saved me so much money because as you were pointing out earlier in your conversation, when you went to buy that 6-pack of tissue, it is ridiculously priced.
Ridiculously priced,
Chicago. We need to do
$33.99.
We need and that probably wasn't even the double ply.
but you know something, isn't it interesting? Toilet tissue is not the not their bathing item. Non-essential.
But it's essential. Because none of us can function on it.
I gotta take a break. I gotta take a break because we lagging in breaks, Anton. But okay.
All right, Shivago. Take care, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back to this break.
Burger King Nassau gives you everything you love in a Whopper, plus more with the new Texas Double Whopper. Sink your teeth into two juicy quarter-pound flame-grilled patties, delicious bacon, sliced jalapenos, yellow mustard, melted cheese, plus all the fixings you love, served on a soft sesame seed bun. Try it in a classic combo with fries and a drink at any of our 7 locations. But hurry, because the new Texas Double Whopper is only available for a limited time, and only at Burger King Nassau.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356 7764.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. On this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad you could join us here today. You know what one of the best deals in the food store, well, still is, even though the price gone up a little bit. Price gone up, you know, and then you add VAT, you know, it's get a little pricier, but one of the best deals still is on Kerrygold butter. Let me ask you all a question. Kerrygold butter is not made in the United States of America, as far as I'm aware. That's an Irish product, is it not? Right? But it's not made in the... how is it that Kerrygold butter, a real butter, which in the United States of America costs almost $5, $6? How come Kerrygold butter, gold butter is still so reasonably priced here in the Bahamas? I have a friend. She's a buyer. Maybe you could help me. I know you're the buyer, you know. Maybe you can help us because maybe we're just ignorant about some of these things. But Kerrygold butter is still very, very nicely priced, right? And it's the best tasting butter, I think, on planet Earth. Expensive as heck in the United States, but here, still reasonably priced. So there's still... And another thing that's pretty reasonably priced here, very healthy for you, very good for you, is... There's mushrooms, still reasonably priced. Don't ask me if they're organic or not, because some of them don't say so, right? We have some, let me tell you some, I even don't joke around. So I love dried conch in my soups, right? Very hard to find and very pricey. I dry and conch myself. I make a dry conch myself. I could show you. We have some texts here. Let me read those texts for you. This text I was supposed to read earlier because I want to thank the person for this information. Yes, Copilot is not from Google. It's from Microsoft. That's true. I went and checked. So Copilot is Microsoft and Google's AI is called Gemini. Yes, thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. This text is, good afternoon. The rise in prices after the pandemic was blamed on a shortage of supplies and they would go down. You can see this across the board. They have not, and wages have not increased. No, but y'all will recall, I told y'all that while I expected inflation to reduce, I said prices never go, they don't go back. Seldom do they go back. And I told you all that. Some of them have come down, mind you. Some of them have come down. But go back to what you knew prior to the pandemic, not a possible chance. Not a possible chance. And I'm not even going to get into why that is today. This text says, good afternoon. The toilet tissue price is way over the top. Or it's a particular brand. Still too much. Now, the toilet tissue brand is, I said, Charmin Ultra Soft Bath. Now toilet tissue generally is pricier than you would think it would be. Because a lot of energy has to go into making toilet tissue both robust and soft. That's not easy to do and accomplish. So there's a lot of energy. But that price, honestly, you all know, I ain't gonna lie to you. I did not see that. That was not the price I saw for four. You know what? I should take that back there and ask them. It's $33.99, $34, six pack. Mind you, it's the it's a thick thing, you know. Boy. Say, we do pay for brand. Kellogg Corn Flakes cost more than Post, that is for sure. Who costs more than the other generic brand? We don't want the generic brand because we don't trust that. We trust the Kellogg or Post brands. That is true, but there's a way around the trust factor, because if you try the other brands, then you could know whether you could trust it, right? There is a place in the United States of, called Aldi. Aldi, right? A-L-D-I. My understanding is it's a Jewish-owned franchise. Well, if you go on Aldi, you will see Cap'n Crunch, not Kellogg's. You will see a lot of these cereals, Rice Krispies and stuff, not Kellogg's. But they are, I can tell you, basically the same thing. Right? Same thing. Well, but you got to try it. Say a nuts duty free. So are lots of fruits. Lots of fruits are duty. Lots of meats are duty free, actually. Lots of meats. So if I could turn back, I'm ill and I will enjoy a low cost, a bit more ice cream from the little blue wooden shacks on the corner back then. It was 50 cents. Get two scoops for 75 cents. Can soda. Each 75 cents bottle, dollar candies was 5 cents. The same ones we spend in 15 and 20 cents for now. We cried then about how expensive things was then. If only we knew how much more multiplied these things are going to be. Well, you want to hear something else? Watch 10 years, 15 years from now. Now, it won't be so bad if your salaries keep up, if your wages keep up. But if they don't, you know what's going to happen? Poverty is going to continue to creep in the people's lives unless we get smarter and smarter. So, you know, when I did a piece of research on pricing here in the Bahamas versus, say, the U.S., and I compared prices in Walmart to prices in Publix to prices in our main stores here in the Bahamas to convenience stores to... There's no question that, you know, we could be anywhere between 15 to 100 to 200% higher in some items, right? For instance, we always were better off when it came to Kerrygold butter. Not much else, but Kerrygold butter. What I discovered was, if you wanted to shop away for a week, that could never be worth it. You might as well shop at home. For 2 weeks, shop at home. For 3 weeks, you are operating on the margins. If you had other things you could get accomplished while you were away and do that, fine. But if you shop for a month or more, there's no question you're better off. No question you're better off, right? Now, I'm not saying if you're going to live in some luxurious this and luxurious that and you go rent a high-end car or something like that. But bulk supplying yourself, wholesale supplying yourself, definitely gave you an advantage. So many families can't do that. They're not going to be able to go away. So they have to shop at home, right? And that just makes good sense for them. But for those who, for instance, some people travel for business purposes, some people travel for other purposes, maybe, you know, and so while you're there, if you can bulk shop, then that made, the numbers said it made more sense to do it that way. Online shopping, I suspect it could be some savings. I'm not entirely sure yet because I've seen some online shopping that didn't turn out to be worth the while, not for the individual items that were being bought. But, you know, it's your interest and your savings and your costs. And so it's a question of experimenting and or doing the necessary research to figure out what works best for you, right? That's really the bottom line. It's Texas. They increase minimum wage to make up for the increase of minimum wage. They increase the cost of items and living. So you hear them announce increase of minimum wage. We think of stuff, then price increases. Then us guys feel it more than ladies because most of us have some lady we helping out if we not married. So we buying our groceries and helping that special friend with hers. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our final break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alain, your host. We'll be back after this break.
ready for a day of insights at the RF Economic Outlook on March 13th at Bar Mar. Embrace the art of intelligence, harnessing the power, as over 200 professionals delve into AI trends, economic outlooks, Caribbean climate resiliency, and more. Don't miss the networking event of the year. Plus, earn CPD credits. Register now at rfbeo.com. Harness the power. March 13th at Bar Mar with RF Economic Outlook Conference.
March 8th, 2024 is International Women's Day. Guardian Media wants all Bahamians to truly inspire inclusion. It's not just something we should say or something we should write about. It's something we need to think about, know, and embrace. It's what we should believe in unconditionally. This International Women's Day, Guardian Media wants you and your company to inspire inclusion. Celebrate the women in your organization this International Women's Day by placing them in an ad in our International Women's Day supplement. For more information, call 302-2300 or contact your account executive. The aim of the International Women's Day 2024 is to collectively forge a more inclusive world for women. International Women's Day, March 8th, 2024. Inspire inclusion.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us in these remaining moments of the show, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. So the other day when I went to the store, jumbo tomatoes are $2.79 a pound. $2.79 a pound. I bought that because I was doing something special, because I grow tomatoes in my backyard now. I have them cherry tomatoes, and I have some larger ones coming. Yellow onions, $4.79 a pound. Yellow onions. I can't get past onions because I cannot grow onions at home. I cannot get them onions to come up. I don't know what's going on. I mean, when they come up, they just don't last. Time is $1.99 a pound. Listen to me. This whole limes. I'm reading off of the receipt now. $16 a pound. That's what I'm reading off the. Off the thing. Hold on. Let me go back over this, right? So the tomatoes is $2.79 a pound. Sorry. The green bell pepper is $4.79 a pound. The green bell pepper. The yellow onion is $1.99 a pound. Thyme, fresh thyme, folks, is $16 a pound. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir.
I wish you the best.
Thank you, man. What's up?
I went to a wholesale place to buy something wholesale, juice or whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
And they have on the door, in order for me to get the juice, I have to spend $100.
What?
Yeah, I know that's wrong. And so,
but it ain't wrong if it's their policy, because there's no law against that. But I mean,
law can change that. I thought wholesale.
No. Wholesale means selling in bulk and quantity. Now the question for us is, what represents wholesale purchase? Is that 10 items, 5 items, 3 items, etc.? We don't have any laws that expressly define that for all items and stuff. But I mean, if a store says to you, if you want this, you have to spend $100, then what they're essentially saying is, in order to get that rate, you have to buy a certain quantity.
Well, I buy, well, I'll tell you, I walk out, I went somewhere else and I bought it, right? But what
that's what a consumer should do. You don't agree with it, you don't support it, you don't like it, you don't want it, you walk away.
So it's no law saying that you have, that I told her it's wholesale. Hey, you buy a case or something, I think that's wholesale, eh?
The government of the Bahamas regulates less than 30 items in the entire thousands of items, right? That's your breadbasket items.
Yeah.
That's fuel. All the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of other items are not regulated in this country. There's no price control. And I'm not saying I disagree with that, my friend. I'm only telling you so that you know. Very few things are price controlled in the Bahamas.
Well, this consumer, what they call a consumer or the customer, that waste of time, man.
It's not a waste of time. They are there to regulate the things that are regulated in law, not the things that are not regulated. They are not there to make laws. They are there to regulate the things that are regulated, ensure that those things are enforced that are regulated. So if you want something changed, you got to go to your government. You got to go to the lawmakers. You can't go to them.
Well, anyhow, I could cut it short. I think they need to do something about that because I feel if I want to buy a case or something, I go to them. That's how I can save some money. It's by bulk. I'm buying a case.
You could buy a case, eh? You could buy a case, but you just ain't going to pay the price you want it. You want it.
Yeah, you got to come up with $100. Well, anyhow, I think that needs to be revisited. Yeah, thanks for your time.
I got you, brother. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I just had a chime. I had to chime in today. I listen to your show every day and find it to be very educational and informative. I know you might not believe me, but a major food store is selling a 4-pound bag of Tyson barbecue wings cooked for $54. And Sam's has the same wings for $14.68, where you know I bought back 3 bags. I wonder where is price control on all of this. First of all, I do believe you. I do. Thank you for listening to. We appreciate it. The second thing is, there is no price control on chicken. That's right. Please get this in your heads. There is a set of bread basket items. I think it may be 20-something items. Beyond those items, and fuel and some other things like taxi, like bus fee, and taxi fee, these things, and no, nothing else is regulated. They don't regulate your cornflake, your chicken, your meat, beef, your oxtail, your sausage, your hot dogs, your Kraft dinner, your ramen noodles, your rice. I mean, not your rice, your cereals. These things are not regulated. The vast 98% of the things in the food store are not price controlled and will never be. Can I tell you that again? Will never be price controlled. Never be. In fact, the stuff you are price controlled one day will no longer be price controlled. Trust me on that. One day there'll be no price control in the Bahamas. This text says, I want to encourage anyone to go to the Shoes Fit Learn the budget if you haven't yet. Oh, the Shoes Fit Learn the budget if you haven't yet. Practice sorting out necessities and luxury that way you would be best suited to survive the fluctuating cost of living. Many of us don't know how to budget and stick to it. I think you need a show on budgeting strategies. We didn't do a show on that twice. Because those of us who are budgeting, the chances of survival diminish as your practice of budgeting does. Set your budget. If I say I only budget $100 for the week, $50 for gas, and $50 for groceries, I'm only spending $50 on my groceries. It's good advice. It's Texas. It's lying online savings, save the individual because people change the receipts. That's fraud. Right? That's fraud. That's if you get caught, you could go to jail. This text says, Lang, they ring that tissue fort. You think so? I can check it out. I can go back and check it out. Said John Shea, case of members mark toilet tissue, $45 a case. excellent price for great tissue. I share with a family member, 45 rolls to the case. Wow. Okay. Say, Shibago, what you caused the process of Kerrygold butter to double on us now. You're letting the cat out of the bag. A taste test as the best tasting butter on the market. I agree with them with that. I hope, man, they wouldn't do that to us, man. They wouldn't raise the Kerrygold on us like that, man. That wouldn't be right. I hope not. So, anyways, again, for the benefit of all listeners, Shibago, Sean Lang, does not begrudge any successful food store chain, convenience store. I don't challenge their prices. I don't tell them they're robbing nobody. I don't tell them they're overcharging anybody, et cetera, et cetera. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying it is possible for some of those items that we get priced heavily here to do better. And you just got to do some things to do better. Got to do some things to do better. For yourself, for your family, to look out for your interests, like everybody's looking out for theirs. So maybe some places have some good prices on tissue, right? I know you ain't gonna see me for tissue no more. That store is not going to see me for tissue no more. Now, I know I ain't call your name. See, Shibago didn't call your name. I did not. So, but one thing, though, we go elsewhere, pay their price, increase, but go to our family and friends and expect discount. You're supposed to pay extra at family and friends. Interesting. That's an interesting notion for sure. Someone giving me advice about where to shop. But it's in Nassau, though. Now, maybe when I'm there, you know, maybe I will take that guidance, you know. But I agree, just share the information where people find savings, etc. Man, let people get some savings, man, because you need to be able to stretch these dollars to do all the things you have to do, especially people of young people and young kids. You want to school them. You want to give them some involvement in different activities. You want to give them opportunities to travel and experience the world. And that's your interest, man. Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do and don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Don't have people come start giving you no guilt trip. But, oh, you trying to ruin the economy or you trying to do this and the next thing and the next thing. If consumers are unable to afford their living, then the whole economy is going to be impacted. That's a standard. Because the more you pay in expenses, the less you can save. And the less you save, the less investing that can happen. So it's a one vicious cycle when the consumer is not advantaged. That's a fact. Kill the consumer, kill the economy. That's the bottom line, right? No economy survives where the consumer is struggling and oppressed. No economy. No matter how noble, how efficient, how effective the business person is, the producer is, if the consumers are suffering, the whole economy is going to suffer. And that's why you got to save the consumer. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today. God bless you. Take care. He spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.